visit the jail often. Often enough over the last years to see patterns among those incarcerated. Most who are incarcerated are not only physically imprisoned, but also mental and spiritual prisoners, many times, if not most times, in a prison of their own making. How did they become those people? Twisted thinkers, irresponsible, with habits of consistently choosing poorly and not regretting those choices until after they are running and gunning again with the blue lights of law enforcement outside their door. I know a man who wrote a book which many inmates read. They, the inmates, think it was written just for them, and partly it was, but initially, while the man was pastoring a church, the book was also written for his congregation, whom he realized had the same stinking thinking going on as those who were incarcerated. It's just that the ones in jail got caught, and the ones in the congregation were still operating in their twisted thinking, not, as of yet, apprehended. Neither had it even entered their mind that they were being hindered in their relationship with the Lord by the way of their own thinking. How do we get there? I mean, think about it. No one wakes up one morning and thinks to themselves,
today is the day I'm going to begin my criminal career.
No one makes the decision on the spur of the moment to be a drug addict. No one decides to make a career of sin while drinking a little coffee in the morning and reading the paper, or makes the life decision to not be responsible and accountable for their actions, ignoring who they wound, gleefully going on, deflecting any challenges as to their distinct lack of honesty. No one wakes up one day and decides that stuff. At least, I seriously doubt they do. I'm Social Porter, and this is Outposts, cool jazz and contemplative conversation. Coming to you semi-live from the late evening cascading banks of the Ocklawaha River, where the trees gently lean over the river's edge and every evening is so pleasant. I've got the lawn chairs set up, coffee is on, God's handiwork of another glowing evening is visible at the horizon. Just sitting here, waiting for you to come sit a while with me. We'll talk and sing like we might if we were sitting around the crystal sea, talking and laughing, reminiscing about the times in our lives when the Lord did this and when He said that. Peace, my friends. Be at peace. You don't have to cry anymore. Those days are done, and you don't have to cry anymore. Because of Jesus, our wounds don't need to dictate our actions any longer. Being free, we are no longer slaves, and you are not a slave to the sad history of your life. We don't have to cry anymore. And you know, when God says you're free, and you don't need to get permission to be free once you're free. Drip by drip, the world and its ways influence our lives, like water dripping on a stone. If allowed to continue to drip, the stone eventually yields to the persistent dripping of water and becomes reshaped into something other than what it normally would be. Drip, drip, drip. It is so subtle sometimes we just don't notice, but it is there. Like watching the tide go out or come in. It is so subtle we only notice when a sizable difference is evident. Only then do we think to ourselves, "Oh, look, the tide has changed." Drip by drip, criminal thinking is achieved with all its irresponsibility, unaccountability, and living in a dream where it's a habit to blow past our actions and then neglecting honesty. Many tend to hyper-spiritualize things so they still don't have to be accountable. Once we are far from shore, no longer tethered to the security of the dock, we wake up and wonder, how did I get way over here? Drip, drip, drip. The drip of the world seeps into our thinking and we slowly ebb away, only to find ourselves at a very uncomfortable distance from God. Well, now don't go away. There's more to come, more to carefully consider, and I'll be right back.